There he is. That's scary. Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick Schmaltz with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Uh-oh. Oh, good night. Good evening. Hello, brothers.
Whoa. Were you yelling?
Woo!
Oh.
Yeah, he came in hot.
Okay, that's hot. That's
yeah.
Hot. Hotness.
Christopher's drinking whiskey.
I'm so psyched to see you and to talk to you, my brothers. You are my brothers. I love you. Greetings.
Wow. Thank you, Christopher. And
Christopher's
Andrew.
Here, everybody. Christopher's here, everybody. I'm here too. I am not drinking whiskey though, so
dude,
I'm
not gonna be dry January. Dry January for me. You just rub it in my face.
It is a very smooth
red breast
Irish whiskey this evening. Drink is Irish whiskey this evening.
What denotes an Irish whiskey? Like, what defines an Irish whiskey? The fact that it's made in Ireland?
Different style of distilling.
It's usually sweeter. Usually sweeter than a American whiskey.
I had my first. I probably have had an old fashioned before, but I think
Irish. I have Irish collection, and I'm building a Scotch collection right now. So
the trick is to just not be a drunk and drink it all. That's the trick.
What are you trying to say there, Andrew?
Oh, for myself,
Patrick.
That's for myself. To not drink the bottle just straight down to the. You know, oh, I'm going to drink half this and then I accept a bottle in one night.
I have self-discipline and
yes.
Okay, here's the question. When was the last time either of you were drunk? Like good and pissed.
December 31st.
Okay. New Year's Eve. Christopher, were you drunk on New Year's Eve?
Absolutely not. I was good and suitably buzzed. The night before the wedding.
Oh yeah, a couple of days of drinking.
It was, and it was good.
It was
wonderful drinking because I was not hammered. I was feeling very good, and it was wonderful conversation with people that I absolutely love spending time with.
Yeah,
family and my extended family and my brother-in-law and my wife's twin sister. And it was wonderful. So, yeah, that was the last time I was say that I was drunk.
I think there's a different.
Can you believe my daughter got married in September?
No.
Crazy.
No.
Crazy.
I'm reminded of that and I process that. And I'm like, I can't believe that we did that.
And we pulled it off really, really came
and
off.
And no
well.
One got sick.
No one got sick.
Yeah.
No one got sick.
Yep.
It's wild.
We were very Susan. All the credit goes to Susan, right?
100%. 100%. I will say that I have experienced, I think there's a different kind of drunk that happens at a wedding. Like either you just go fully off the fucking edge and you're like, sweating and knocking shit over.
That was me.
It's like the best drunk you've ever been in your life. I've experienced both of those at a wedding, but I think it's like one or the other. Like,
well, it doesn't help that the wedding was at 4,000 feet. So
yeah,
that's true.
It hits you harder. You know, all the drinks hit you.
That is true. But I, you know, I have learned a few things in my few years, and my 50 years. Thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely, and, I'm not letting that slide.
And one of those is that I know that the hammered drunk the next day is no longer worth it. So I will never do that again.
Buzzed, like decently buzzed, is always should
it's
be
all about
target.
It's all about the maintenance.
Maintenance.
You can get that like that like five
water
hour.
Water yeah. Maintaining that buzz, and that's what I achieved at the wedding. Right, I was like, hey, all of this shit is paid for. Yeah. The people that I love the most are around me and are here. We're celebrating the wonderful wedding of my oldest daughter.
And Andrew was there. And Andrew to, was there.
And well, let me finish my funny tale, dude. You blew the joke.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. He had the setup
God going the damn, whole time.
I was Patrick
ruined the punchline.
Patrick ruined it. Patrick, let me finish my storytelling, dude.
I saw it coming.
God damn.
He couldn't help but interject. Yeah.
Seriously. That would have been the funniest joke of the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Except for the jokes that we told in the lost episode, right?
Yeah, so, episode
55. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean those jokes. But
this
joke that you just ruined would have rivaled all those jokes during that 100%. Episode 55.
I'm sorry.
Absolutely true.
Okay, we're brothers, we're geeks, we're talking about geeky things. This is episode number 159. This is January 17th. We're going to talk about a few things. Spoiler warning.
Today is my other daughter's birthday, Kristen. Oh, her Chris, birthday I is said, today. She is Kristen's 21 birthday. Years old today.
Oh my God.
I texted Kristen talk this about morning drinking. And I said... I sent her a happy birthday text.
You see,
saying,
I've failed at many things, but I don't think I've failed at raising children because Kristen, like, she is not a, okay, I'm turning 21 and I'm just going to get, you know, she is not that way at all. She is.
She's lame then. She's a lame daughter.
She's not lame.
She's totally lame.
She's unbelievably awesome and so smart and so wonderful.
I got blitzed out of my skull on my 21st birthday.
So did I. Rum
out
and Coke.
Out of my skull.
Rum and Cokes at Club Congress, dude.
Oh, dude. We didn't go
rum
to
rum and Cokes. I hold got freaking hammered.
Shut
at
up
Club,
and listen
Club to Congress.
We went to O'Malley's. We went to Maloney's. We went to the Shanty. We ended up.
My
at a
God!
Place that's closed now.
You're such a lame bar crawl in Tucson.
I'm not
that is the lamest of the lame. That is the lamest of the lame bar crawl.
It was like on a Tuesday night. We were some of these bars. We were the only people in there.
What was that Irish pub that's in Tucson? Chris Ryan and I went drinking there. Can't remember the name of it.
O'Malley's.
Yeah, we went there and. We had a few beers. It was fun.
My 21st birthday was like on a Tuesday night. So I went out with like four or five friends, the people who had already turned 21. And legitimately, at a couple of the places we went, there was like two other people in the bar. I mean, because the drinking nights in Tucson are Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. So when you go like, you know, early in the week, there's nobody in the bar.
So does she not drink at all? Or like...
She's a wine person. She's not a, you know, a White Claw kind of stuff. But what's smart about is she's not a like a okay, let's just get pissed, right? She has figured out because she's started to drink earlier than is legally allowed. Don't drink if you're not 21. If you're listening and you're under 21, don't
obey the law.
But my daughter,
or do it responsibly.
My daughter is a lawbreaker, but
makes it cool.
It's done in a way that she's not like a slobbery idiot.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So it's like this is not her first experience, and so she's having wine, and it'll be hopefully. I mean, it's her birthday, so she may just get rip-roaring drunk, and that's okay, you know? I was young once, too, and I did the same freaking thing. I got hammered literally every day I was in Kazakhstan, so there you go.
I mean, how can you not get hammered when you're in Kazakhstan?
Right?
The vodka flows. I mean, do they drink anything but vodka?
I've told you, I've probably said this to you, but never on the podcast. My host family had cherry wine too. They had a cherry orchard, if you can believe that. They were Russian family in Kazakhstan with a cherry orchard. How about that? That is
they owned property.
Oh yeah, they had a dacha. They had a dacha. He's Communist Party member. My host's father. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
So he went from being a Communist Party member to being to like straight mafia.
An official who head up an engineering school in Kazakhstan. Yeah.
Oh wow.
And they had a dacha, and they had a church at like three or four.
What's a dacha?
Dacha is like a summer home.
Oh. Okay.
It's like a cabin. Yeah. Like what we would call a cabin in Pine Top.
Uh-huh.
They had a dacha with some land, and on it was like three or four cherry trees, and they made cherry wine at the dacha. And then they would bring 10-gallon jugs of the cherry wine, because me and my host brother, we lived in the...
10 gallons?
10 gallons. Me and my host brother, we stayed in the apartment in the center of the city while mom and dad lived at the dacha. And mom would bring food and gallons of the cherry wine that they would make. And because the exchange rate was 700 to 1 when I was there, and I had hundreds of dollars in dollars, I was able to afford the best vodka that was sold. And we drank vodka every day I was there. Literally every day.
Did you develop cirrhosis of the liver?
No, but I could not look at a bottle of vodka the day and when I left.
Yeah.
Like I drank so much. I drank so much.
Yeah. That's college. That's college and grad school though.
Grad school.
Yep.
Grad school, yeah.
So okay. We went down that memory lane.
I love it.
I love it. You're making me want vodka right now.
I know. It was only like 3 years ago that I was able to look at a bottle of vodka and actually drink it.
I like it.
I like vodka. Give me a good White Russian. I'm good. Yeah. I watched The Big Lebowski. We watched that Friday night. Oh my God, that movie. Anyway.
That movie is hilarious. Okay.
Absolutely tremendous.
So if you listened to the last episode, you know that we are doing our Expanse one shots. We're kind of going to do a special double shot.
A one shot plus. Yeah. One shot plus.
I like a team up. Let's call this a team up.
A team up. All right. This is 2-in-1. It's like a Marvel 2-in-1 annual, number 7.
This is
2-in-1.
It's a 2-in-1 team up.
Team up.
Because we're going to talk about Expanse. This is episode number 7, and the title of the episode is Ugin. How do you say it?
Oye dang. What?
Oye dang. Oye dang.
Oye dang.
Look at that! Look at
the worst. You are the worst belter.
Oh yeah, dang!
I'm the worst belter. Oh yeah, dang! And we're going to talk about WandaVision, which just dropped with the first two episodes. So, spoiler alert: from now on, if you haven't watched those two, you have been warned. Okay, so this episode takes place a lot on what's the name of Mark Onar's ship? He's on the Mars ship.
He's on the Pella. It's called the Pella.
And they have a warship, and we have a lot on it. This is kind of an in-between episode. So that's why I don't feel bad about talking about that other show, because not a lot happens until like the end.
There's a lot of talky-talky.
There's a lot of character stuff in this episode. Yes. A lot of stuff about
and
Naomi.
A lot of emotion. I mean, hey, Naomi, that's fine. We love her. And she's going through some shit.
Well, we finally get to find out what happened with her and Marco, because I don't think like in past episodes they've really explained it well. They've sort of like hinted at stuff.
We knew that they had a bad enough falling out that she essentially hasn't seen her kid for 15 years.
Yeah.
So but they didn't get into specifics. Like we knew that Naomi had like a rough past. We knew that she you know, had done some things that she was not proud of. Clearly, one of those things was abandoning Philip, quote unquote, abandoning Philip. And she clearly ran with this crew. This was clearly like a pirate terrorist crew. They did what they wanted. They took what they wanted, and right. So they're not upstanding citizens for sure.
Well, and then you start to understand that, like, that Marco is kind of a ultimate manipulator, and that she felt like she was manipulated into liking him or whatever. And
her eyes are open by what he manipulated her into doing,
and that she's trying to get. Yeah. The manipulation out of her kid. So there's a lot of the episode is her like trying to explain to Philip, hey, like Marco is a dick. Like this is what happened to me. Don't let him get, you know, don't let it work on you. Like look past it. You're better than this, you know? But she was trying to get him the hell out of there. But then, I thought it was going to be like this twist moment of Naomi getting through to the engineer guy, getting mm-hmm. through to her son.
That would have been the trope, right?
Right, right. Yeah. If she finally gets through to him but no, she ultimately has to escape in a very badass way. But and then the other part of the episode is Holden chasing down the protomolecule and having to make a choice about saving Naomi, chasing the protomolecule, and then very little of this episode has Alex and Bobby in the Razorback headed
or Amos. No Amos.
No Amos. Well, we had a lot of him last episode.
Last episode was about Amos. And yeah. I mean, we get like a minute of Avicerala and where she is and what she's doing. This episode is Naomi's episode. And Naomi,
so key question, because I and all the listeners are wondering about this. If we haven't already looked it up, or the listeners haven't already looked it up, which is what is the meaning of the title of the episode?
Yeah. Andrew? What is that? What does that mean?
Oya ding.
Oya ding. Oya
ding. Oya
ding.
Oya dang.
It's Belter patois.
It's Belter Creole for goodbye.
Oh.
Yeah. So clearly that's an allusion to how I think Naomi.
What a tough situation. Yeah. This is a real like tough situation to think about, is trying to save your kid from choices he's made. And then ultimately choosing to run away and leave him behind because you can't help
twice.
Him.
I mean, legitimately, this twice. Is twice she's left her kid behind.
Uh-huh.
I mean, once when he was a baby, and now she's like,
yeah,
she has to choose between, because we're put to the point at the end of the episode where Marco has laid a trap for the Rocinante, and she has to choose between I stay behind and I still try to continue to Philip. Can I, you know, making the choice of staying behind and trying to continue to work to try to save Philip, is he redeemable? Is there a situation where we come out of this alive?
Right.
And I have to risk everything.
Can we get out of here together?
To try to save my new crew.
Will he let us go?
That's the choice that she's made. She makes that by the end of the episode.
And you're reminding me of something, is she's getting onto a ship that is potentially sabotaged to kill or blow up or something.
Yeah.
Like she's got to deal with that next episode. But like her just like, oh my gosh, they're pulling the recycling bins out. Do you guys hear that? Sorry.
Yeah. A little bit. I can hear the truck. Yeah.
We're right next to the wall, so sorry.
It happens, man.
It's
just real life.
It's just real life. Real life is happening.
Let me comment on your characterization of her running away. I'm going to disagree with that. She is not running away. She has made a conscious decision to reject Marco. She has made a conscious decision to leave her irredeemable son and have agency in escaping and then returning to and trying to do everything that she can in order to prevent Marco from achieving his goals. It's not running away because it's not a suicide attempt, right?
Right.
And so we can talk more about that, but that is a beautiful moment and tragic moment at that point in the episode where, what's his name?
Sin.
Yeah. They have this early in the episode. They have this exchange where he tells her that he saw her go into the airlock after sort of the killing of all those innocent people. And she was an agent in that. She really made that happen.
Yeah.
And she was lost and she went into the airlock and Sin was there. And he observed her go into the airlock years and years and years ago. And she did not open the airlock to kill herself, but Sin was there observing that she put herself into the airlock prepared to kill herself. So they have this emotional exchange. You think again, trope. They have this, they're talking about the past. They're talking about their bond. They're talking about their emotional connection, family connection, etc. And then I love this show so much because they absolutely go back to that where she is in the airlock. Mm-hmm. Sin goes in the airlock. This is fast forward where she is escaping. But Sin sees her go into the airlock, think that she is just in despair, that Marco is totally, she has no more options. And boom, she says, "You made a mistake coming into the airlock with me."
Mm.
And she opens the airlock with a plan. She has totally planned this out to jump from the one ship to the other ship, the Chesimoka. Chesimoka?
From the Pella to the Chesimoka. Yeah,
Chesimoka. Yep. And that's a kick-ass scene.
It's crazy.
But it, you know, Sin is dead because he's in a airlock, not prepared to be exposed to the vacuum of space where Naomi is. And I just love what they do with that and how tragic that is, that he's trying to help her. He's trying to prevent her from committing suicide. And she's like, "No, I'm past that. I don't commit suicide. I act."
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to prevent Marco.
Do either of you follow the showrunners / writers?
Absolutely.
On Twitter.
Absolutely.
Did you see the arguments they were getting into this week with clowns coming at him?
People are so stupid.
Yeah, about how she wouldn't survive some shit like that. It's so inane to me that people are
That's the slice of fandom that I hate. I absolutely hate.
Completely.
Yep. Yep.
It happens with every star in the world.
Are these people who are saying the scientists?
No, these are people that and they just shooting their mouth off because it's
also
on Twitter.
Also, she has the future magic wand, stick it in your leg stuff. That's the reason she brought that stuff along.
It's oxygenated blood, which
it's like science.
It's science how they figure,
and that's why it's called science fiction, dumbasses.
Yep. Also, yeah. Granted that she would probably be kind of messed up no matter what. But
there's definitely going to be
physical. She could survive.
Definitely cell damage. You could see it. They show it.
Yeah,
That's what bleeding is, dummies.
You triggered Christopher.
Yeah. You saw her. You saw the blood vessels in her eyes start to pop.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is going to be fucked up. She's going to be alive. She's going to be fucked up.
Physical damage.
Physical damage.
Yeah.
So
let's talk about, we've talked. I want to highlight just because the action on this show is so well done.
Yeah.
The scene where the Rocinante is fighting off the attack from
unbelievable.
Zendaya.
That's so cool. Yeah.
It's so cool. Like, and it just makes sense knowing what we know about the hard science fiction of the show and how kind of thought out and well designed the Rosinante is as a ship of war, how they would design it, and the fact that they, you know, the PDCs, like how they come out and like the maneuvers that they would do.
We have that shit now. We have that shit now on our naval ships. And of course, in hundreds of years, or when is this set? Andrew, remind me how many?
Couple hundred years
in the future. Of course, they would build on and enhance and improve what exists right now on naval ships, you dumb shits.
Are people saying that? Nobody, yeah. Dude, what did Chris is like going on a rant of nobody. Chris is
fired up.
No one is saying that can't happen, Christopher. I don't think, anyways.
Oh, no. Everyone. Yeah, there are people on the internet who are saying that that can't happen.
Unrealistic, that technology could never be able to achieve that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, first of anyway, we're not going to dive into that. I just want to talk about how it's so cool and it's so well done.
Yeah.
It's just, and you're like, yeah, that makes sense. If you like take us in terms of like, and
the Rosinante, can take on anybody, and they blast out their engine, and do they just like blow themselves up? Do they have the protomolecule on that? Is that the deal?
No. No, the exchange after that, Marco, clearly suggests that it was transferred before. To another ship. We don't. It's not clear to what other ship it was transferred to, but absolutely, it's not on that ship.
No, yeah,
it's not on that ship.
It would have reacted to the radiation of the core exploding. I think. I think that's part of how the protomolecule ones. It feeds on radiation. So if the core exploded, the protomolecule would have reacted to the explosion.
It's just so shitty. I would like to mention just briefly that I've convinced Hannah to watch the show. We're starting in episode one. We're on episode three right now. So it's so crazy to think about.
Tell me, Patrick, what shows has she convinced you to watch?
The Bachelor.
So you're watching the most recent season of The Bachelor, Patrick?
Yeah, I refused to watch the last couple. I watched the first one.
The episode where every bachelor season starts the same, where every contestant walks up to the bachelor or bachelorette to introduce themselves. Sure. And to make a first impression. So I saw a meme on the internet of one of the women who was introducing themselves walks up in like bra and panties only.
Yeah.
And like has dresses on like a rack. I couldn't choose what to wear. She's a very fit woman.
Yes.
Very fit woman. But she is in bra and panties to introduce herself to the
Bachelor.
Did he pick the dress to her for her to put on?
He sure did, and she stayed on that week, I think.
Are you in a betting pool yet?
I'm not in a betting pool, but I should be, shouldn't I?
When I watched Survivor,
Chris just has his mouth open like agape.
He has nothing to contribute.
Yes.
When I watched Survivor hardcore, I would get into Survivor betting pools, and I think Daniel did the same thing. We would bet on who would win Survivor.
Here's the reality, and we could talk about this for a second, is like there are a lot of shows out there that are just, they're made for level ones. We are not level ones. You just have to accept that these shows exist. The shows like The Bachelor and Real Housewives and NCIS. What's some other ones like Bones to some extent. We all watch Bones because what's his name was on Bones.
Boreanaz. Bones is a genius show
Hold
on, David Boreanaz currently has another show on CBS called Navy Seals. Anybody watch that of David Boreanaz?
I have watched a couple episodes of that purely because Boreanaz is on it, and it is rough to watch.
But are so many like network television shows that
Susan
are like,
and Susan and I were talking about this. It's like there are so many shows that are advertised right now. It's like, oh my god, who watches this?
There,
so
saw,
like, see all this, the CBS lineup is filled with stuff that. Oh my, are you kidding?
Have any of you guys ever watched the show Shameless? The show Shameless is on like fucking season 6.
No, no,
yes,
dude, no, never. No, no, no. Shameless is on season 10.
Oh, incredible! I never watched a single episode.
That's on Showtime, right? Is it on Showtime?
And I watched it. I watched like one or two episodes at the very beginning because Emmy Rossum was the star.
Yeah.
And I love her. I think she's incredibly attractive. So I was like, oh, I'll watch this. I'll give it a shot. And I just couldn't get into it. Like, it's a family of it just didn't interest me. I gave it one or two episodes.
It's on 10 seasons, bro.
So, 10 seasons later.
So, we have to, this is the footnote to this discussion. We are a podcast of inclusivity. Mm-hmm. We are a podcast of support for everyone's geekdom, right?
Yes, right.
We have said this. This is one of the founding principles of this podcast. So, if you love The Bachelor, and you love Schitt's Creek, and you love Shameless.
You're putting Schitt's Creek in that category?
You
are.
You love Shame. You love Navy SEALs, and you love NCIS Key West, and you love whatever the show is.
CSI Miami.
CSI Paducah. Whatever. If you love those, more power.
Watch that shit, and that's why it exists.
That's why that's why there was 10 seasons.
I'm not immune to it. Listen, during COVID, while I'm at home working during the day, I went on a run of NCIS New Orleans like you could not believe.
My God.
Scott Bakula, dude. That dude is badass.
Oh, I love Scott Bakula. I am a fan of
But it is a trash.
It's trash. It's trash.
Totally.
It is a trash show.
You know what's a trash show that I liked with Scott Bakula is Star Trek Enterprise. It's trash. It's trash show, but I like
Bakula
it.
Bakula is really good in it.
Bakula is great in it. It's trash.
Anyway, I watch NCIS New Orleans purely because Scott Bakula is it, and the dude from the Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift is in it.
You know what's a trash show that I like watching right now, currently, because there's 12 seasons of it on freaking HBO Max, is The Big Bang Theory.
That is not a trash show.
Yes, it is.
That show is hilarious.
It's not.
It's not trash.
After season 5, it's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
It is. I do not.
I fell off it. I have to say.
12 effing seasons.
When Penny and Leonard actually like officially got together is when it got not funny. And I'll tell you when else it got not funny. And I say it with like, I hate saying it because I actually love the actor who is on the show. I love Mayim Bialik. I think she is wonderful. But when they added her character, Amy Farrah Fowler.
Yeah.
She is not funny. And annoying, and
wow, this is sacrilege right now.
Oh, he got kicked off because he was so angry with.
Yeah,
with...
that's it. Keep recording, and we need to shit on Andrew because that's what happens when you badmouth Big Bang Theory.
I bet his laptop went to sleep because he's a dummy.
He's such an idiot. Andrew, will you please change your freaking settings on your laptop?
You're such an idiot. Shut the fuck up. It did not. I changed my settings. It should
you
not
are, you ever. Are an idiot.
Shut the fuck up.
Arsenal fan idiot.
Wow. Whoa. Well, Arsenal got brought up.
We can't see you, Andrew. Your settings are so screwed up, and it's total user error. You're an idiot.
Wow. He looks sad. Don't be mean.
Fix your laptop settings.
Close to your mic. It sounds like you're screaming, and you probably are. You're ruining the audio by being this close and putting the mic squarely in your mouth. Fucking up the podcast.
Okay, I did that on purpose.
Okay, guys, let's talk about WandaVision. WandaVision.
No. We can't finish with this episode. Expand.
Chris still has to yell at us.
What else do you have to say
close.
About the expand?
Make his points.
Let's move on to WandaVision so we can get to it. Do you have anything else to say about Expanse?
No, I'm just teeing up. Is there any closing comments on this
closing
episode?
Closing comments
of Expanse?
About the Expanse.
Come on. We are professional podcasters.
Keep yelling.
I'm excited about...
make your points.
I'm excited about...
The louder, the better.
The next few episodes. We only have 9. There's only 9. There's not 10.
No, there is 10. There is 10.
There is 10?
We've got 8, 9, and 10 left in this season, which bums me out because it's gone by so fast.
Yeah, it's only... Yeah, 8, 9, and 10. Okay. So, yeah. Looking forward to Wednesday.
Tuesday evening, maybe.
Tuesday evening.
They've been coming out on Tuesday evening. Yeah.
I watched it Tuesday evening. Yep. Totally. Okay. WandaVision. I would like to just start off with this is like, I've had a couple of friends of mine who are like, they're expecting me to be dialed in and texting me saying, have you watched WandaVision? Should I watch it? And I gave him the answer that I'm about to tell you now is like, it's a pretty weird show. And it carries on this idea that you like these characters already and you kind of understand who they are and they're in this weird thing and you're sort of like taking it with a grain of salt because you're hoping the payoff will be worth it. Because there are 90% of these episodes that have nothing to do with anything. They are completely like 50s television, like housewife show, and then 60s television housewife show is episode 1, episode 2. And
Dick Van Dyke and Bewitched.
Dick Van Dyke
by the way.
And Bewitched. Yeah, very exactly. much, very much so like
the classic tropey
classic
sitcom.
Classic tropey sitcoms.
They're black and white. They're like all of the first episode is black and white or most of it. There's a little red dot that appears. And then most of the second episode is black and white. Really interesting. And there's like hints that there's something else going on. Do we know any like secrets that we could share with the audience that we could like anything you picked up that you saw?
No, we can't do a better job than a couple of websites have done the Easter egg thing on both episodes. Yeah. We will.
Did you look at those?
Yeah, I did look at those. And
yeah,
what's the symbol of the person watch at the end of episode 1? The guy's watching what does it symbol mean? Did they explain that one? I didn't look that up.
So I will say this about the show before we get into
I got to give credit to the article I read. Let me find that because we should link to it because I don't want to I didn't come up with any of this on my own. So let me see if I can find it. Go ahead, Andrew.
I'll say this that yes, when we get into the weeds on the Easter egg stuff, this is a show that A demands its audience understand.
Yeah.
Classic TV trope and
Marvel history.
Okay,
and
Marvel history. That was my second point. You have to be, you have to have at least an intermediate knowledge of the Marvel universe in terms of not just who knowing who Wanda and Vision are and what their powers are, but knowing where the story is taking place, you know, having an idea of where the story is possibly taking place in the timeline of the MCU, having an idea or at least asking that question, when could this possibly be happening?
Is this that alternate dimension guy, what's his name, Mojojo or whatever?
I don't know.
That's a thing. There's this, it's an X-Men. Go ahead.
You go any further, we got to remember that when we are first introduced to Wanda, she not only has telekinesis, that her powers are not only derived from the Tesseract that give her telekinesis, she also has the ability to warp reality and warp people's reception.
That's the key part of this.
Yes. That has been a power of hers that has really been utilized or focused on since Age of Ultron. So you have to know that about Wanda, because part of me thinks she is creating this for herself in some way. And the voices that we hear calling out to her through like the radio that's in her TV show, quote unquote TV show that she's in, calling out to her, Wanda, can you hear me? Are people in the real world trying to communicate with her and bring her back into reality?
She's had maybe a mental break. Is that what you're trying to say? And her powers
she's a captive.
Yes. Well, because what we
how do I chat? How do I link something in chat?
Click on the general above the general hashtag up there. And
not doing it.
So
go ahead.
We get appearances of this symbol that looks like a sword, and
Is it sword like shield?
There's a sword. The image of there's a couple of moments where there's somebody who looks like who's watching a monitor.
Yes,
where they are,
mm-hmm.
And the notebook has on the cover of the notebook. And I was going to link. We'll put this in the show notes.
Yes,
I'm looking at an article on Collider.com.
Yeah, right?
And this walks through every Easter egg, especially in I think in both episodes, but. There's clearly someone watching looks like an old school monitor with computer screens on either side, and it's a sword notebook on the cover.
So
sword, and you have to know Marvel history to know exactly what that is and what sword is.
From what I can remember of my Marvel history of sword, is they are the extra-dimensional, they are the extraterrestrial version of S.H.I.E.L.D.
S.H.I.E.L.D.
They travel, but this is probably going to come back to Nick Fury and the Skrulls being on that ship at the end of what was that? That was Spider-Man?
Far From Home. Yep.
Far From Home. So it might be someone in his new organization, his space defense organization.
Well, we know Marvel loves their acronyms. SHIELD stood for Strategic Homeland Intervention and something Logistics Directorate or whatever. SWORD is another acronym that in the comics, who knows if it will continue to mean this, because they actually changed the acronym of SHIELD from the comics to something different in the movies. SWORD in the comics is Sentient Worlds Observation and Response Directorate. I memorized that from, because it actually appeared, I think SWORD actually, when I first became aware of it, was Joss Whedon's run on the Astonishing X-Men.
Uh-huh.
One of the main villains in Joss Whedon's run on Astonishing X-Men is the director of SWORD, because the X-Men deal with aliens through that entire run. Anyway,
yeah, the X-Men start to get involved with aliens, like in their books, like big time. And I just got a message.
That was from me.
Okay, just making sure. I was making sure Craig didn't disconnect on us.
No.
Wanda is clear. Wanda, because it's Wanda's story. I mean, we get parts of Vision's narrative too, but Wanda is clearly the focus of what's happening in this world. She is, and she has direct effect on what's happening in this world that she's in.
Well, and like you start to see her kind of poke holes in it, but Vision to some extent pokes holes in it too, where he's at that job and he's like, what do we do exactly? Like, what is our purpose? And like, no one has a good answer for him.
Well, their
backstory seems to be like missing, because like someone asked them like how they got there, what was their backstory, and they can't remember.
Yeah, they can't remember.
And that's when the camera angle changes and they got close up.
When they go out of the there's a what's the term? It's a television production term of
Patrick might know
for sitcoms. It's how they shoot them. It's a specific style of how they shoot sitcoms.
It's a three
single camera,
it's a three camera. It's
three
a,
camera. When they go out of the three,
it's the center one. It's the center. It's the light, the right facing in. Yeah. And when they go out of the three camera sitcom format
and they go to the single camera,
Big Bang Theory does that.
It's the most classic version of sitcom television is the three camera setup. Every classic sitcom besides like The Office has been a three camera setup.
It's really easy to shoot it on a stage doing that.
Exactly.
All this has been on a stage.
Well,
so
I just want to comment, Patrick, because I think you're digging on it the right way. Because you asked the question of like Vision doesn't know what his company does. That's like an ongoing joke of like a meta joke about early 50s and 60s.
They never talk about it.
They never talk about like the husband.
What
goes
do you
to work.
Do when you go to work?
Right. He just sits at a desk and he shuffles papers.
He's shuffling. Yeah, he's working on paper and he's pulling the thing and he's typing into numbers.
They
and
have no idea what they do. The husband never talks about his job.
It's so funny. It's really well done.
Well, the humor of the episode too is like Vision keeps like people keep thinking he's a robot, and he keeps like forgetting that he's
overreacting. He's like, I'm not. Oh, absolutely not. I'm not a computer.
Pretty good.
It is funny and painful and really. Weird. Like, and weird is the right word. We were saying that,
right?
We were saying that here. It's weird. Like, damn, that is some weird TV. So
here's what it is. Is like I said, 10% of each of these episodes is actual plot, and the rest of it is just like sitcom fluff that doesn't matter. And
I disagree, it does matter. Yes.
It matters, but it's not telling the overarching plot of the big thing. And I'm wondering if it's embracing the
style of there's the episodic situation comedy, and then there's the larger arc that's existing. That's
the larger
Wanda's
arc.
Story. I love that the episodic situation comedy that they're embracing is so well done with the Dick Van Dyke shit. And then in episode two, where it's the Bewitched.
What's going to be the 70s one?
Interstitial. The Stark Industries toaster, dude. That is awesome.
And the Strucker branded. Did you guys get
Strucker?
With a Hydra symbol on the watch face.
Yeah, there are little touches of the reality of the MCU that are coming up.
Right.
And it's very interesting, but it's very weird. I think the next episode we're going to get is going to be like All in the Family, like that vibe, like the 1970s, like a little bit of maybe even a little bit of like counterculture, because All in the Family was like groundbreaking in the sense that it had the main character who was an outright bigot and everyone around him was more progressive. And it was all about the comedy of those two opposing forces in the 1970s. I'm wondering if that kind of like that kind of vibe is going to come up. Where they're
All
gonna
in the Family? Archie Bunker?
Is it Archie Bunker? Isn't that the name of the show?
All in the Family is the name of the show.
Yeah, with Archie Bunker. They're moving into the era of the 70s sitcom where you had kind of the main character who was the likable curmudgeon who had all these character flaws, and everyone around him kind of like comments on the fact that he is such a curmudgeon and so unlikable, but it's still in that situation comedy vibe. The first two episodes, I am very interested and invested in where they're going.
Interested, and, but I want the payoff to matter. That's what I was just going to say. I mean, want that 10%. Yeah.
It has to matter. If it doesn't, then the show fails on every level. If you're
okay, so I would like to come back to something I said earlier because I had to look it up to make sure I had the guy's name right. There is a X-Men villain called Mojo, and he controls televisions in this universe, and he loves to take characters into this alternate reality and plop them into television realities.
Hmm.
And I remember this, reading this guy. He did it to, what's that guy's name? It's like Darkstar or something like that.
Shatterstar.
Shatterstar. Thank you, Andrew, and your eidetic memory. It's pretty close. it's an interesting idea that maybe because Marvel owns all this X-Men stuff that they would go with Mojo for really kind of, and Sword being kind of, but like Sword is part of this whole thing with the what's the name of the guys who want to kill the Phoenix Force?
Shi'ar Empire.
Shi'ar Empire. Like those guys might get introduced. It could have impacts on that stuff. That's my best guess. Is it's Mojo? Mojo. This is a Mojo verse that they plucked her out of and put her in this, and she's, I don't know, created Vision just because she has the powers to create whatever she wants.
I think you're going a little
too far,
too esoteric on it, dude. I think, or a little too much of a deep cut. I think what we're witnessing literally is Wanda trying to cope with Vision's death in some way. And she is creating some kind of reality for herself.
So do you think that's Occam's razor here that's why Sword is involved is that she's had a psychotic, and this is, I get all credit to Kira for the theory here, psychotic break. She is under care and sedation.
Yeah.
And her powers are manifesting this reality where she is trying to sort through things with Vision, and it's drawing from all these tropey 50s sitcom stuff. Who knows what the trigger for all that is, but the reason why this is happening and why Sword's involved is that they are, because she's extra dimensional, right, and has that capability, and who knows what else.
She's made a pocket dimension for herself.
They are trying to monitor and figure out, because maybe it's they've only been able to sort of tap into the feed from this extra dimensional universe, and so they need to monitor. They're clearly writing down notes what's happening. So
I'm going to go even more than that, Christopher. I think that they're not only trying to find a way to contact her while she's in this reality. She's created
of it
control.
Feeding into phase four of it feeding
yes.
into phase
yes.
four.
Well, yeah. Well, and then you're bringing up like your the before House of M was the end of the Avengers caused by her.
Yes.
It was right. This whole storyline about her creating the Avengers' greatest villains in her mind. Her mind losing herself and destroying and killing the Avengers.
On preventing the creation of mutants, right? That was part of House of
M. Happened at the end. That happened at the end of the Avengers. Was they go to confront her. They figure out that Wanda has been killing them and destroying the Avengers. They go to confront her. And when they do, the last thing she says is, "No more mutants." And then it cuts to House of M. And then that whole storyline happens because of the Avengers screwing with her.
How great is it though that we have Marvel content again?
Yeah.
It's been over a year since we had Marvel content.
We should have gotten Black Widow over the summer,
We should have gotten the Marvel Disney Plus.
Well, and they're not messing around. This show is not messing around because they reference Bova, dude. Bova is as weird as Marvel gets. You caught the Bova reference, right?
No.
No?
What?
She's shopping in the grocery store. Bova milk? That was up on the wall. Bova milk. Bova is a sentient cow who gave birth to Wanda and Pietro in the comics.
The hell?
Yes.
Okay. No.
Yes, dude. Watch this it again, episode 2, when she's shopping at the beginning, when it's animated. Bova milk is up on the wall. Bova is the cow that gave birth to Wanda and Pietro in the comics.
Did Magneto have sex with a cow?
No.
Okay. That'd be weird.
That'd be weird. Okay.
My prediction, and it's way out of left field. The reason, and I have something to admit at the end of this that's shameful. So I think the reason that Wanda has escaped, or she's in this world of like constructed sitcom situation comedies from the 50s and 60s right now, is because that's what she watched as a kid in Sokovia, because that's all that she would get on like the ancient post-Soviet whatever era television station.
That's exactly what they could get at the time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my prediction. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a solid explanation.
That's a solid explanation, but I'm hoping for Mojo. I'm hoping for Mojoverse.
Yeah. But I also want to admit, shamefully, that I didn't put together the whole Wanda Vision like television thing until midway through the second episode.
Oh,
like,
wow.
WandaVision. Like, WandaVision. It's like television. Wanda's version.
Wanda creating it.
Ashton looked at me. She's like, yeah, duh. I'm like, okay, thanks. I felt really smart. And then my girlfriend's like, yeah, you're dumb. I just figured that out.
I didn't get that till just now. So what does that say about me? Okay. Do you have some stuff to talk about? With Gloomhaven, update. Christopher?
Yeah, I just want to give we haven't done a Gloomhaven update in a while, and just to update, Sean and I are continuing through the scenarios. All of our characters are level 7 now, and so...
Cap? What's the cap?
9. All of our characters are level 7, and we are wrecking these scenarios. Our party is a symbiotic machine of killing. That's the title of the episode, by the way.
Christopher, the photo that you sent to the group chat, can I post that on Instagram?
Yes, post that on our Instagram feed, because that was the setup for the current scenario that we're going
through. Symbiotic
machine of killing. So we're currently going through I love this game so much. We finished one storyline. We're working on another storyline. And in order to advance in the storyline, we have to go through this scenario in order to get water breathing as a reward at the end of this scenario so that we have water breathing when we want to go into this new line of scenarios headed towards another big bad. Anyway, the game is freaking awesome.
Because you got to go underwater to find them?
Yes. It's we can only access the scenarios if we have water breathing. Yep.
Interesting. Yep. All right, excellent.
So, we really have gotten it down to a science. We really understand our characters and how they work together. And this one scenario, we have to kill a certain amount of drakes, spitting drakes and rending drakes. And we, my characters and Sean's characters are very good at what they do. So it's very fun. Nice. We have a very good time.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, Andrew, do you have any trivia for us?
I do. And if you guys know this, this is super obscure. And I honestly picked it because I think it's really fun and appropriate for our podcast. So we touched on the Expanse and the language that has evolved among the Belters. And it's called Belter Creole. And we know that there are certain words that have come up in the process of the Expanse so far. And I wonder if you guys know the Belter Creole word for brother. There is a Belter Creole word for brother. Can you guess it?
No, I got nothing.
No way.
Okay. I didn't expect you to, but from now on, this is going to be part of our podcast. The Belter Creole word for brother is Baratna.
Baratna! Definitely heard that.
Nah.
Oh, I've heard him say it. B-E-R-A-T-N-A. Baratna.
Baratna.
Baratna. We are the, Baratna geeks.
Yeah, is there a word for geek?
Not on the Expanse.
I'm sure there's a whole dictionary that's being worked out. So
yeah.
Hope so.
Baratna. Hope so.
Baratna.
Thank you, Andrew. If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kingofthenorth52@gmail.com. Email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com, brothersgeek.com, brothersgeek do stuff on Instagram. That's about it.
Check out, I just posted Christopher's picture of his Gloomhaven setup on our Instagram. Check it out. It is elaborate and as detailed as you would expect from Christopher with his tabletop gaming. Looks pretty legit.
So fun.
The $20 Walmart folding table, though, is a little questionable. Seems unsturdy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to upgrade
to a sweet gaming table.
I don't have the space in my current house, dude, to have a permanent. When we move into a permanent house, that it will have a dedicated gaming room with a dedicated gaming table.
Hell yes. Awesome.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening.
Wear a mask.
Get the vaccine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Get vaccinated, idiots.